And so I'm going to mute everybody again, but if you have any questions, feel free to unmute or to put something in the chat, and I will see it. Let me just get this set up. Okay, so we are still in Kuntres HaChesed, and we're in Perek. So this is our 13th Perek of Kuntres HaChesed. This is actually the very last Perek. So we're about to finish Kuntres HaChesed. We started this a few months ago, so it's been a big accomplishment, both in person and on Zoom. The 13th Perek discusses something which is somewhat of a, I don't know, maybe a destination, a goal of this entire discussion, which is Avas Hashem, loving Hashem. And I think the central question we have to answer, based on the build-up that we've been building up in this whole discussion over the past few months, is the following question. If we know that giving is what is able to achieve love, how do you create love? You create love through giving. That's Rav Dessler's big principle. When you give, that forms love. So if that's the case, then how does one love Hashem? Meaning, if I give to people, I grow to love them. But what can I give to Hashem exactly? Hashem doesn't need anything from me. I can't really give to Hashem in any way. So what's going to form that love between myself and Hashem? And it's a very important question, because one of the most fundamental mitzvot that a Jew has is Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. We say every day in Shema, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you have to love Hashem, your God. But if loving Hashem has to stem from giving to Hashem, so how do I give to Hashem? I think that's the question that Rav Dessler wants to come to answer. So I'll read it inside. Then those who have the text can read along with me. I'm on page 50 of Mishnah Eliyahu, and those who don't have it, as usual, I will read and translate. So he says, Avodah Sakel Bnuya Al Yesod Hakaras HaTov. The service of Hashem is built up on the foundation of Hakaras HaTov, of gratitude. Last week we discussed gratitude. We said gratitude, 2 weeks ago actually. 2 weeks ago we spoke about what gratitude actually is. Gratitude is the one who's receiving from somebody else wanting to repay them. Meaning, I'm a giver, but you gave to me. So as a giver, I don't want to receive. So if I don't want to receive, but I did receive, how do I give back? So the answer is gratitude. Because that's the push in myself. I have to give you something back. If I can't give you money, I can't give you time or energy, I can't give you anything physical, what can I give you? I can give you a karas hatov. I can give you that gratitude. It's a very important thing. So serving Hashem is built on gratitude. That's really the foundation of being a Jew. And maybe let's just prove this point for a moment. The Torah begins, Bereishis bara Elokim. So usually translated as, in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth. But the word Bereishis, the Chazal speak about it at length, and they discuss what are other meanings of the word Bereishis. So one meaning of the word Bereishis, Chazal say, is the word Bereishis refers to Bikurim, the first fruits. The mitzvah of Bikurim is really the mitzvah of showing Hashem our gratitude. We refer to, there's a special declaration made when we want to bring Bikurim to the base of Mikdash. The declaration was called Hodas Bikurim. You're giving Hodah, you're giving thanks on your Bikurim, because the first fruits are the recognition that everything I have, I've been laboring in the fields for months, finally I grow, one fruit, one piece of grain, and the first thing I do is I show Hashem, Hashem, it's all from you and I give it to you. So the rabbis say Bereishis is also a remez, it's a reference to the Bereishis Bikurei Chitim, it's the beginning of our harvest. And the beginning of our harvest begins with the Bikurim, which is gratitude. So the Torah begins, in other words, Bereishis, that Hashem created the world for the sake of Bikurim, which in other terms means for the sake of gratitude. So the world is built on gratitude. Beyond that, we know it says also in Bereishis, it says that nothing had sprouted yet because the rain hadn't fallen. Now, why did the rain fall quite yet? So the Torah says, Adam ayin lavaris adamah, because there was no man to work the ground. And Rashi says, what was Hashem waiting for? Hashem was waiting for the human being to come and show gratitude for the rains to have the rain fall. I mean, the world doesn't function. Everything in the world only takes off, only is engaged if we show our thanks to Hashem. Once that gratitude is shown towards Hashem, so from that everything else stems. But the world really is built on that hakaras hatov, on that gratitude we have towards Hashem, and that's the most innate feeling of a Jew, is to have that feeling. Brachos are very much part of that. We give gratitude to Hashem for our food, for any pleasure in life, for things that we see, for things that we do, because we're showing that what we have is from Hashem. We're trying to show that gratitude. He continues, "Halakol mefurash shebechol sifrei kodesh." All the Sfarim explain, "Asher al Adam lehodos l'Hashem atov." That's upon the human being to show his or her gratitude to Hashem. "Al kol tovos sheyaselo," for all the good that Hashem did for us. "V'chibishvilam alav l'kayim es kol mitzvos hachukim v'toros." And because of this gratitude, we should fulfill all the mitzvos. So really, for us, the gratitude towards Hashem should drive us to do mitzvos. "V'gam yirmoz al davar hayasod hazeh barishon l'serasod varim." And this fundamental principle is actually alluded to in the first of the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments. "Asher gila kel baruch hu gili gomro chol am b'maymet har Sinai." We are Har Sinai, and Hashem spoke to the whole nation. We'll be celebrating Shavuos in about a week and a half, and we'll be dwelling upon this point. And Hashem came to us at Har Sinai, and He spoke, and the first words He said was, "Nochi Hashem lokecha, asher tzitzicha meretz Mitzrayim." I am Hashem, your God, took you out of Egypt, and beis avadim, from the house of slavery. So the question is always asked, why does Hashem introduce Himself as the God who took you out of Mitzrayim? Hashem could say, "I'm the God who created the world." He could say, "I'm the God who sustains you every single day." There's a lot of things Hashem could say. But Hashem is trying to arouse in us a feeling of gratitude. If you were standing in Har Sinai, just 7 weeks before, you were standing as a slave in Egypt. And now, 7 weeks later, you're standing at Har Sinai, ready to receive the Torah. So when Hashem says, "I am the one who took you out of Egypt," Hashem is saying, "And therefore, have gratitude towards me. Recognize where all the good is coming from." Hashem even adds in. Hashem mentions that you came out of Egypt. He mentions that you were slaves. Because Hashem wants to inspire us to have feelings of hakara satov, to have feelings of gratitude towards Him. So Hashem, when He came to Har Sinai, He was trying to bring us to feelings of gratitude. And that was the very first of the Aseret Dibros. And this really is why the Haggadah, you know, it's hard for us to remember already, Pesach was not too long ago. And the Haggadah is built up on the Parsha of Hodas Bikurim. The text of the Haggadah is built on what we said before, the gratitude we used to show when we brought Bikurim. That is the basis of the text of the Haggadah. Why is that? Because leaving Mitzrayim was all about showing our gratitude towards Hashem. Coming to Har Sinai was all about Hashem helping us to show the gratitude, because we're trying to get to a sense of gratitude. Now, why is that? So let's foreshadow what he's going to say. It's like we said before, we have a mitzvah to love Hashem. But you can only love somebody that you give to. Again, that's the yesod of Rav Dessler. So how do you come to give to Hashem? So the answer is the gratitude. What we show towards Hashem, what we can give to Hashem, is hakara satov. And that allows us also to develop avas Hashem. And we'll explain further. And it's an important point also to note. You know, tefillah, we daven every single day. And the Rambam says, you know, in davening, there's three basic points. So for us, we view davening typically as requesting our needs. There's another point in davening, which is praise of Hashem. That we praise Hashem as the one who is able to control and do everything in this world. But there's a third point, which is hodah. The Rambam says davening has to consist of hodah, shevach, and bakasha. You have to have gratitude, you have to have praise, you have to have request. That's davening. So davening is not just requests, it's not just praise, but it's also the hodah, hakar satov, the gratitude, showing thanks to Hashem. All three are needed. And the truth is, the most basic tefillah one can say should include all those points. You know, it's said that women who don't have time to daven a full davening, but they do want to try to get in something, just to be yotzei and do a little davening the day, they should say a tefillah that includes all three of those points. Bakasha, hodah, and shevach. The tefillah often recommended is Birchas HaTorah, because Birchas HaTorah, it praises Hashem for giving the Torah, it shows gratitude towards Hashem for giving the Torah, and also requests that Hashem should make Torah sweet in our mouths. So Birchas HaTorah actually includes within it the praise, the gratitude, and the request. But gratitude is a central part, not just of life, but of tefillah. Tefillah should be filled with modim v'nachnu lach, is one of the most important brachos for Esrei, which should be filled with gratitude. So one could serve Hashem from fear. We know the two motivating factors, we'll call them, in Avodas Hashem, are Yira and Ahava. There's the love of God and the fear of God. Kabbalistically, the love and fear of Hashem are referred to as wings. Because why? A mitzvah that contains within it no love and no fear. It's just a dry mitzvah done based on habit, based on rote, based on routine, based on ritual or tradition. It has no wings, meaning it doesn't ascend to heaven. It doesn't have any energy to it. It doesn't take off. When a mitzvah is done with ava or with yira, with love or fear, that means there's some connection and emotion in the mitzvah. So Kabbalistically, those refer to the wings of the mitzvah because that mitzvah takes off. It can leave this world. It can connect to Hashem and go up into the heavens. A mitzvah done with no ava, no yira, it just falls flat. It doesn't go anywhere because it's just a dry action. It gets reward. Everything you do that's good gets reward from Hashem. But in terms of connecting on a spiritual plane, that mitzvah doesn't take off at all. So ava and yira are two very important pillars of Judaism, and those two pillars are what energize our mitzvahs. So one could serve Hashem purely out of fear. Sheyira v'yifachet shul yoshev lo kiraso. You can just fear that Hashem should not punish for our wrongdoings. V'kayim bazes mitzvos achukim. So you do mitzvos, you fulfill Hashem's word because you're afraid of the consequences. That's one way to serve Hashem. It's fine. It's acceptable. But it's not ideal. And this should be a starting point. I mean, the starting point of serving Hashem, often we say, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. Because the fear of Hashem is a basis. I understand there's a big and mighty God in this world. I understand that my actions have consequences. I understand that what I do is important and it matters. And that those are all points of Yira. That I step back and I say, I'm such a small person. God is so big, I better do the right things. So that's always a basis, a starting point. But avodas halev, but serving Hashem with the heart, avodas sheish ba mina shlemus, which really, that's what achieves shlemus, perfection in serving Hashem, tirak bergasha sahoda, that only comes if you feel a sense of gratitude. You have to feel that, you know what, I'm not just doing this because I'm scared of the consequences, but I owe it to Hashem. I want to reach out to Him. He does so much for me. He gives me life, He gives me food, air, shelter, He gives me family, He gives me friends, He gives me everything I have. So when you feel a sense of that gratitude, you're not serving Hashem out of fear, you're serving Hashem because you want to make that connection. Like we said earlier, if you're a giver and you've received something, you don't want to let it just go unnoticed. You feel you have to give back. So what do? I can't pay you money and I can't do anything for you, so I can at least show you my gratitude. A mitzvah done with a sense of gratitude, it's a real, genuine, sincere mitzvah. I'm doing it because I want to connect to the one who gives me so much. But it's a very important attitude and feeling to have in doing mitzvahs. I want to give back. Now we say in Halal, Ma'ashiv la'Hashem, kol tagmohi alai. What can I repay Hashem? You know, all of the payment is upon me. But Ma'ashiv, what can I do? Ma'ashiv lach ki'akol shalach, we say. What can I give to you because it all belongs to you? But what can I give? I can give thanks. That's the one thing I can give. You know, a person can't thank themselves. You know, kevi yachol, one thing Hashem can do is, you know, you can't show yourself gratitude. It doesn't really work. But we can recognize Hashem and show gratitude, and that's the role of the human being. We mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago, the word Yehudi. The word Jew means hapam or Hashem, that I show gratitude. We are people who show gratitude, and it's not just towards others. It's meant ultimately to be towards Hashem. He continues, "Vamru Chazal, Hakol Kofir B'Tovaso Shel Chaveru, Levasof Kofir B'Tovaso Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu." The Chazal tell us in a Medrash, it says that anybody who denies the good of Hashem, somebody who becomes ungrateful, so at the end, if you deny your friend's goodness, at the end you'll deny Hashem's goodness as well. So it's an attitude. If I'm somebody who in this world doesn't show gratitude towards others, then I won't show it towards Hashem either. They go hand in hand. Because it's not like I can pick and choose my sense of gratitude. Either I'm a grateful person or I'm ungrateful. That's just the essence of the human being. As the Maimar Zeh Biru B'Bir Nifla Echa Migdoli Echach Mi Musar Hu Rabbi Nenil Nachum Zev Ziv Zatzal Mi Kelm. So there is one of the great Bali Musar, Rabbi Nachum Zev Ziv from Kelm. One of the great Musar greats of Kelm. So he explained this quote from Chazal in an amazing way. So again, we're talking here about somebody who's ungrateful towards others. That person will eventually come to be ungrateful towards Hashem. So how do we understand that? A person acts always based on his own inner traits. You know, we have certain midos within, and those midos drive us. Im kasan hu, if you are somebody who's a kasan, has a temper, yechos b'chol inyan shevyehu l'zeh. So you will get angry at anything that makes you angry. Meaning it's not that I can pick and choose where I where I lose my temper. If I have a terrible temper, if it sets me off, it sets me off. And if not, not. But I'm not able to say, okay, I'll lose my temper here and not there. It doesn't work that way. Because my mida is being a kasan. And therefore, I'm going to be drawn into anger whenever something sets me off. Vimgahu, if I'm somebody who's a balgai, if I'm arrogant, is God b'chol makom shu. So I will show my arrogance anywhere where it applies. You know, whenever I step up and say, here I am, so out comes the arrogance. Im tovu, if I'm somebody who's just good-hearted, yisnag b'tovim kol, so then always be good-hearted. There's people that we know that whenever we speak to them, it's always about what can I do, what can I give, how can I help, I'm so sorry. They're so sensitive, so loving, so caring. They don't choose when to be loving, caring. That's who they are. They're loving, caring people. Because that is the mida within. If the mida is real within you, it's going to permeate everything you do. Because that's who you are. It's your essence. The chayna ralevav is somebody who is not kind-hearted, who's evil-hearted, who is no mean and stingy and selfish. They're also. So that also will come out in all ways. Lo yuchal adam lishol luvos mireu ezekoch mikof senefesh yechzer lo. And I can't borrow or lend to you a mida. If you're very kind and I'm very, you know, selfish, I can't borrow your kindness for today. If you're very patient and I'm very, I have a hot temper, I can't borrow your patience for today. It doesn't work that way. And I can't lend you my patience. It doesn't work. I am who I am and I can't switch that up. So on the other hand, so if I'm somebody who's a kafui tov, I'm an ungrateful person. I never show gratitude. I think everything should be mine. I think what you do for me is what is owed to me, and I don't give you any sort of recognition for what you do. If that's me, so then what happens? It's not only me towards people. The same way that I will deny the goodness of my friend, if you help me out, I won't recognize that. I will then also deny Hashem's goodness as well. Because it's a mida within. Hakaras HaTov is not just an action I do. You know, you train a child to say thank you. So you get in the routine of saying thank you. But that's not true gratitude. I mean, it's a polite thing to do. It's better than nothing. But gratitude is that I feel on the inside that I really appreciate what was done for me. That's what gratitude really is. And therefore, I can't become a someone who's motive b'tov, a makir b'tov, someone who's grateful, unless I'm trained in it. It's a mida within a person. We often look at gratitude as just an external action, but that's not really gratitude. Gratitude is the internal feeling. That's what gratitude is. El kamosh yichpor b'tovas shel chaveru, kach yichpor b'tovas shel kosh baruch hu. V'lo yafrish ki zeh asher kfiyas hatova, kochi benafsho, gam bevo l'fnei hakel baruch hu. So it's a fascinating thing. So somebody who their inner mida is not to be grateful, it's to be ingrateful. So even when they come before Hashem, meaning the Chazal tell us, even b'sof, at the end of days, after 120 years, you stand before God, even then, you won't be able to show gratitude. You'll still act in this manner. But somebody who in his lifetime or her lifetime always recognizes all the goodness around and realizes that I have to pay back to all those that helped me and certainly to Hashem, so then I'll be able to express my full karas hatov in the karban or betfila, whether it be through a karban, whether it be through davening, shegishem afanayz barach. So when I do this, when I give back this karas hatov to Hashem, so now I'm the giver and Hashem's the taker. And that's what we're trying to get to. How can I get to a point where I can give to Hashem to build that love? Because I love those to whom I give. So it's because when I develop a deep sense of a karas hatov, so that will generate the love. And you then will be zoche to this very, very high level, hadveikus b'yisbara, clinging to Hashem, kayasher dabek ha-mekabel she'ava gemura ka'amor. Just like we said before, that when you give to somebody, you start loving them. When you give to a spouse, to a child, to a friend, that builds the love. So the more you give to Hashem, and the only way you give to Hashem, kevayachol, the only way you give to Hashem is through that hakar satov, it's through that gratitude. That's all we can do. There's nothing else we can do. So if my entire being is I'm a giver, So when I receive from Hashem, I also have to be a giver. But what can I give? Ma'ashiv, I can give my thanks. Alkein tegadol madregas avas shemizbarach. And through that, you can grow in your love of Hashem. Asher techabed leknosa, which is hard to acquire sometimes. V'matum oda shere kaimulas a mitzvah rishon b'krishma v'haftas Hashem lekecha. Now, very few people are truly fulfill the real meaning of loving Hashem. Because until you master being a giver, the karsatov habami menu, and then the gratitude that comes from being a giver, liyasig esa avaklal, you won't be able to achieve that level. So I want to explain this for a moment. Avas Hashem is again, it's a pillar of Judaism. It's something that we build so much upon. It gives wings to our mitzvah. It gives meaning to our lives. So the typical understanding or process of how does one achieve Avas Hashem usually is going to be that you look around, you see the beauty of Hashem's world, you see what Hashem has given you, and through that, you develop a love. But that's only step one. I mean, I have to recognize what's given to me, but it's not just recognizing it, it's being able to convey that gratitude. I mean, if you don't know, how do you grow in Avas Hashem? So again, step one is to look around you and say, look what Hashem gave me in my life, I have so much. Hashem has bestowed upon me so many good things, starting from the fact that I'm alive and I'm breathing, and then through all the other things that Baruch Hashem that we have. But step two is then, how do I convey in some way my thanks back towards Hashem? Whether it be through davening, whether it be through a new commitment to a mitzvah because I'm doing Hashem's will, because that's also giving to Hashem, because I'm doing it because I want to show Hashem that I care about Him. And when I make these actions a part of my life, these actions of showing gratitude, and that's my kavana within them, that's what I'm thinking. So that actually builds Avas Hashem. It's not just because I think Hashem is so great. It's to actually go ahead in my life and somehow express that gratitude. So again, the most direct way is in davening. When you say the words in davening, modim nach nulach, or when you look through many tefillos that express the gratitude towards Hashem, so that's an act of building love of Hashem. But beyond that, it's in the world of action. You know, I can do mitzvos and have in mind, I'm committing myself extra. I'm going the extra mile because I owe it to Hashem. He's done so much for me, I should do it for Him. Often we can say, you know, the minimal mitzvah I can do would be X. But I could do it nicer if I did Y. So X would be doing what has to be done. Y is saying, I want to go the extra mile for Hashem because He goes the extra mile for me. And often that attitude, that extra step, goes so much deeper than just what makes you yotzei the mitzvah, because you're expressing yourself in that. It's not just doing what has to be done, but it's expressing your own feelings through that action. It's a very important thing. He continues here with another very interesting point. He builds on this little side point. He builds on the concept. But I do think that we have to utilize this as a tool. Now, if you want to grow in that emotion in serving Hashem, try to grow in your karsa tov, and that actually will help us grow in our love for Hashem. Maybe me adding one more point relevant to Shavuos, then we'll move on to the next point that he makes. Now, Shavuos is the day where Hashem gives the Torah. If you look in davening, in the morning and at night, in Shachros and Marav, so each, we have a bracha about, in Shachros and Marav, about the Torah. In Shachros, at least for Ashkenazim, it's Ava Rabba, and in Marav, it's Avas Olam. So both those brachos are considered brachos on the giving of the Torah. Both those brachos actually could substitute for Birchas Torah. If one forgot to say Birchas Torah in the morning, you can use those brachos to substitute Birchas Torah. I mean, they actually are bracha on the Torah. What do they say? How do they start? So, Ava Rabba Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, you have loved us with a tremendous love. So Hashem giving us the Torah, we are describing as Hashem loving us. Because it fits right into the so we keep describing. Hashem loves us because He gives to us. Right? So Kevi Yachol, it does say Hashem loves us, that we are loved by Hashem. And we express that in Hashem giving the Torah to us, Hashem gives to us, therefore He loves us. Ava Rabba Avtanu. Same thing at night. Avas Olam Beis Amcha Havta. You love your nation with this everlasting love. Torah Mitzvos Chukim Mishpatim Asan Lamata, because He taught us Torah Mitzvos. So the usual understanding is that we have a privilege. Hashem chose us. No, Hashem loves us. That He gave us a privilege that we have the Torah. But you could also say the other way around. Because Hashem gave us, that makes Him love us. Because again, you love those to whom you give. So Shavuos is a yomtif about Hashem giving the Torah to us, and therefore we speak about the love of Hashem towards us on Shavuos. But it goes the other way as well. Shavuos is also called Yom HaBikurim. Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Bikurim. In the Beis HaMikdash, the season for Bikurim began on Shavuos. You couldn't bring Bikurim before Shavuos. On Shavuos, the season to bring Bikurim began. You could bring them all the way from Shavuos until Hanukkah, basically. But why is Shavuos Yom Bikurim? Because it goes both ways. It's a relationship that goes in two directions. Hashem gives us the Torah and loves us. We give him Bikurim, which we said before is gratitude, and we show our love to him. So there's actually this relationship going back and forth. Hashem showing love to us, and us showing love to Hashem. There is a minhag out there, I think mostly among Sfardim, that's actually a text of a ksuva that they'll read in Shul on Shavuos as a ksuva between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. I don't think Ashkenazim do this, I haven't seen it at least. But Sfardim, I believe, have this special nusach they'll read in Shul on Shavuos, and it serves as a ksuva in between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, because Har Sinai was a chuppah. Har Sinai is considered a wedding. It wed us with Hashem. There's a ksuba to be read, and there's love exchanged. Again, the love of Hashem towards us is the Torah. That's kind of like the wedding ring. And then our love back to Hashem is our gratitude, which results in the Shavuos as Yom Bikurim. So you see this relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael growing and building on the love on Shavuos. So Dessler now adds in a very profound point, a little bit of a side point, but a very profound point over here. We quoted before a medrash that says that a person who's ungrateful in this world, even the Vesof, even in the next world, even at the very end, will still be ungrateful. So the question is, how does that work exactly? Let's think through it. Kasher Niftar Adam Levi Salama, a person passes away, and they come to the world of truth. They stand there before Hashem in the world Olam Emes, the world of truth. And before you, when you're standing there, after 120 years, you stand there before God in the world of truth. So Hashem reveals to you all the things in their true form. And a person recognizes all their mistakes they made in this world, and the magnitude of their sins, and the greatness of their mitzvos. Everything is real before you. You see 100% clarity before your eyes. What is true and what is false, what is good and what is bad, and what you did in this world. And there's no Yitzhahara there. Yitzhahara is not going to in any way entice you in the next world. So therefore, how could somebody still be there and not show gratitude? How is it possible? This is a line from Medrash. Levesof, even at the very end, even when you leave this world, if you're ungrateful here, you won't be grateful there. How could that be? It doesn't make sense. If everything is revealed before you, if you're in the world of truth, how could it be that you could stand there and not show gratitude? And the Chazal say even further, in the Gemara, it says, Rashayim, afilu apiskel shel Gehenim, a Rasha, even at the gates of Gehenim, enam chozim b'tshuva, they don't do tshuva. So he's standing there, the door says, Gehenim right here. You know, he's ready to be thrown into the pit. And he still doesn't do tshuva. How is that? How does that make any sense? How could the Russian not know the evil of his deeds in that world? I mean, what are Chazal conveying in this message over here? So he says a very important point, which I think we've spoken about a while back, but it's a very important point we should always keep in mind. The meaning is like this. There's two things in a person. There's Yediyah, there's Sheifa. There's your knowledge, and there's your desires. And there's two separate things. And we see this in our own lives constantly. You see the things that you want and desire, even though you know are bad for you, you'll still do. Nowadays, everybody knows that smoking is bad. But there's still smokers out there. And you can ask them, is smoking bad for you? They'll say, yes, I know it's bad for me. So I do it because I want to. Why? There's a knowledge, the idea, and the sheifa, and there's what you want. And those two things don't go together. What I know and what I want are two separate things very often. I mean, ideally it shouldn't be, but they are, because we're human beings. And therefore, a person can know 100% truth and still do what they want. So let's keep going. So what is tshuva? Tshuva is not just not doing the actions. You have to also no longer have the desire for the actions. When someone does tshuva, so step one is obviously stop doing the sin. But step two is you want to uproot from within yourself the desire for that action. That you don't, you shouldn't want to do it anymore. The Mesillas Yesharim has a famous line. He says, Akiras, the idea of tshuva, the chesed Hashem does for us, is that if we uproot the desire for an action, Hashem uproots the action. Meaning a person for 20 years doesn't ever stop and think Lashon Hara. They're always speaking Lashon Hara all the time. It doesn't bother them. At a certain point they regret their action, and they really come to a deep sense of remorse, and they want to change. So that person uproots the ratzon, the desire for Lashon Hara. So Hashem says, I see your sincere tshuva, I'm going to go back in my time machine, kevayachol, I'm going to erase from the record all the bad things you said over your lifetime. So what have you done there? What you've done is you've uprooted not just the action, but the desire for it. It's akiras ha-ratzon, hu akiras ha-maisa is the wording. You know, that when you uproot your desire, then that uproots the action. But it's two separate things. There's knowledge and there's desire. So tshuva is not just not doing the action. It's not just knowing what's right and wrong. Tshuva is not no longer having the desire to do it. Hayaki yashuv yashanas she'ifas libo. When you change your aspirations, it doesn't mean that you don't have an urge, but it means that that's not what I want for myself. I mean, a person can have an urge for something, but say, but I don't want that, even though I have an urge for it. So we're not saying that uprooting the urge is something we can't really do. But we can uproot the desire to actually do it. You know, we can care about it. We can say, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to do that action. And when you could say that, that's pure tshuva. So Chazal is saying an amazing thing here. A person dies after 120 years, and your neshama goes up to Olam Emes, the world of truth. So when you go up there, you understand everything in its truest form. You get it all. Everything 100% becomes knowledge and makes sense to you. And all the mistakes you made in your lifetime are rolled out before you. But your inner desires remain the same. I mean, we've mentioned this a while back. You don't change as a person, even if you have the knowledge. You might have new knowledge, but it doesn't change you. Because that's who you are. And we discussed a while back how a person in this world, if you live a very, very materialistic lifestyle, and you go up to Shemayim, so you're not going to become spiritual in the heavens because that's not who you are. The same brain and feelings you have right now will travel with you into the next world. You leave your body behind. But your brains and your feelings and your emotions, they go with you. If those feelings and emotions are four things that don't work in Shemayim, so you'll know what the truth is, but you're not going to be able to change your feelings about it. You're sort of stuck as who you are. So even though we can explain to you and give you knowledge of good and bad, but your she'ifos, your aspirations, your desires remain the same. So that's what it means. A Rasha can be standing at the gateway of Gehenim, and he sees before him the truth. He knows he's going in to be punished. And he already sees the terrible torture which is going to come of him. But he doesn't go back into tshuva. He can't. Because who he is, his desires, his goals, his values, those remain the same. Because if he died that way, that's who he's going to be, even though he has knowledge. So just like we said, in our lifetime, we can have knowledge of what's true, but still not do it, and still have desire for other things. So too, even after this world, those desires remain the same, even if the knowledge has been changed. So too, if you're ungrateful. If you're somebody who's a kofui tov, somebody whose desire is I'm a taker, not a giver, and everything I get I just want to swallow up for myself, and I don't care who gives it to me, I deserve it all, I'm a selfish person, I'm a taker, I'm a no-tell. So even though you go up to the Olam Emes, you go to the world of truth, and you see all that Hashem does, you are still in your essence a taker. And even though you have knowledge of the fact that everything Hashem does is a tremendous chesed for us, you can't shift that midah at that point. You can't change yourself because your attitude is, I'm a taker, give me, give me, give me. It's all about me. You can't switch your focus at that point to say, wow, Hashem gives me so much, I better show my gratitude, because that's not who you are. And you don't change once you're up there. You can't feel hodah, you can't feel gratitude. Because in this world, you've trained yourself to be so ungrateful, you can't bring yourself to those feelings. So it's an astounding thing. It's a little scary that, you know, even though you're standing and facing the truth, you can't change your own personal attitude at that moment. So that's what it means, that a person, even at the end, if you are somebody in this world who is ungrateful, you're a taker, you don't give, you think everything belongs to you, and you deserve it all, even when you're in Shemayim and you learn that that's not true, and objectively I see that I deserve nothing, I no longer have the capacity to feel gratitude, because that's not who I am. That's how I train myself. So I lose that. I don't have that mida. So I just can't do it. It won't work. But those who show gratitude, that is the veikus in Hashem. That helps you cling to Hashem. And this is what we find about malachim and tzaddikim, that they're able to always cling to Hashem because they have that gratitude. They develop that love, that appreciation, the recognition of Hashem. So they're connected. So this is a big mussar that we should take, which is that if we're ungrateful people, we're not going to be able to enjoy Olam Haba, because we're going to sit there being grateful as well. I mean, imagine you're sitting there and what's supposed to be eternal reward, but you take it for granted because you don't recognize that Hashem is doing something good for you, and you just want more and more and more. So you're in a situation where you're going to have an attitude for eternity in some way, and that's a terrible situation to be in. So this is again somewhat of a side point to our topic, but it's a very important point. And I always think it's so important to recognize the distinction. You can know, but your desires are different. And when you leave this world, your knowledge changes. You know a lot. Hashem teaches you the truth, but your personal emotions don't change. They've been frozen because that's who you are, and therefore you remain that way even in Olam Haba, because that's how you train yourself in this world. What we make out of ourselves now, the feelings, emotions, drives, aspirations, goals, yearning, that goes with us. And if those are for good, then we'll have a great time in the next world. But if those yearnings, aspirations for doing good are not there, it's very hard to be able to connect. I always like to compare it to, we speak about how wine is an acquired taste. I've used this mashal before. So if someone who does not have the taste for wine, I give them a $400 bottle of wine, and they take a sip and they spit it out. Ugh, disgusting. But if you're somebody who's acquired that taste, it's delicious. You have to acquire a taste in this world for good, for truth, for spirituality, for pleasures that go beyond the physical and material, because then next world you'll have that taste built up. The Olam Haba is an acquired taste. If you don't have the taste built up in this world, you're not going to be able to enjoy it in the same way in the next world. And that's what Esther's point. But to sum it up, I mean, the main point is the idea of Avas Hashem. His big yesod, which we've spoken many times, is that you love those to whom you give. The more you give, the more you love. We explained before how giving is because I'm investing in the person, and therefore I see myself in that person, and I feel connection. I can't give to Hashem. I have to love Hashem. It's a mitzvah, but I can't give to Hashem. So what do? The answer is, I can give gratitude. And gratitude is an attitude that we have in life. That rhymes. Gratitude is an attitude that we have in life. And it's something that we have to develop to be, and we can only get there if we're givers. If you're a giver, then that means that you don't want to take from others, which means that they give to you, you want to show gratitude, because gratitude is a form of payment. That's what we described in the previous chapter. And if I'm a giver, when Hashem gives to me, it's the same idea. I'm going to always want to give back to Hashem, and all I can give back to Hashem is that love and that gratitude. And then that builds up my Avas Hashem, which is one of the pillars of Yiddishkeit, and gives my mitzvahs wings to fly. Okay, any questions? All right, everyone just have a wonderful night, wonderful week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shir. You're welcome, thank you.